Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. We are doing some initial reactions and some storylines to watch for heading into week nine. And it's backups, quarterbacks galore. Cooper Rush with his Sunday night win against the Vikings. And Mike White gets the Jets a victory. It's funny because I'm in one of those like pick one winner pools. I think it's called like a suicide pool or something like that. But you pick one winner. And I was setting my lineups, doing all this stuff, and I logged down with like between 5 and 10 minutes left to go. And I'm trying to like get it to go in. It won't go in. The website isn't up to snuff. Like it's like a 1999 AOL CD-ROM version website, and it didn't. I couldn't get in to pick Cincy, and so I was like, I sent a text to the person that runs it, and I was like, listen, like, here's what happened. I had been complaining about it to him earlier in the week. I was like, this site is horrible, and I was like, look what just happened, you know. So it wasn't like it was. And he's like, there's nothing I can do. Like, there's literally nothing I can do. I can't go in and edit it, you know, manually. And I was like, livid. And then the Bengals lost, and I didn't feel as bad. because that was going to be my pick. So, remarkable game there. You know, it's funny. I wonder in terms of, you know, just in terms of going forward, what we might expect from, you know, some of these backup quarterbacks may have earned themselves money. Like, it sounds outrageous to say, but you think of just the different sphere that you get in your career from a performance where you have, you know, Mike White going 37 for 45 and 405, two sacks, three touchdowns, two picks, but 107.9 quarterback rating. Like, that's pretty amazing. Like, when you think about where some of the struggles that Zach Wilson has had, you know, he has, just using the crude metric of quarterback rating, out produces Joe Burrow, and in, you know, basically north of nine yards per attempt, just an incredible performance. And you know, it's wild, right? Right at nine yards per attempt. It's a wild performance. And so that's, I think, one of the things I'm going to watch for is like, all right, you know, I added him, but I didn't have the stones. You know, I think I added him in a handful of spots. Didn't have the stones to really start him. You know, Cooper Rush, I literally had to. And that was in the Scott Fish Bowl. And I didn't have a choice. I think like my other choice might have been someone off the waiver wire as like a running back and like playing in the flex. But it was going to be, again, and I don't care about losing. Like, that's the other thing. Like, if he throws five picks, you know, like, it's not, I want to finish first. I don't really care about anything after that. And so that's really it's a different, you know, the circumstances collided to the point where I could say, all right, I'm going to just start Cooper Rush because I don't really have a better option. And given my circumstances, I wasn't going to do that. So, so it'll be interesting. I think, I really think that, Dak, they made a great decision, by the way, and they got rewarded for what you know, I'm no Cowboys fan, although Dak makes it hard. They made the right decision in my mind and got rewarded for it, which I think it doesn't oftentimes play out that way, but they made the right decision to hold back their, you know, their $100 million man. And listen, this game in the scope of the season, this wasn't one that was going to make a huge difference in terms of like determining where they go. Losing Dak Prescott for the rest of the year would do that. So, Yeah, so good on them for having the restraint to not allow Dak to go out there and play, and to get rewarded for it with Cooper Rush. I think, you know, when you look at the stats, it's or the schedule here upcoming, one of the big things is Dak should be back for Week 9. Like, he should be back. Feel confident playing him once he's back. I mean, he's, and the other thing too is like the limited mobility. I don't really care at this point, because he's essentially become a pocket passer, and so I'm not super worried about his mobility. Some other injury notes. I this is going to be the week, maybe the month of, you know, October and November might be the month of the backup quarterback, but you have a number of situations occurring. And I think there's, like, if there's one thread through this whole week, it's going to be this. And I think we're going to need to think about these situations. And again, if it's a different calculus if you're in two quarterback versus if you're in Superflex or start one. Obviously, if you're in start one, you could probably fast forward. If you're in start two or super flex, like, these things are going to become more relevant. And I mean, I think that this is a good example of why you take a shot on some of these guys as backups, right? This is why you take a shot on, you know, a minimum flyer on Mike White or something like that, and super flex, because if it turns out, like, hey, that might give you options. And again, maybe it's a really nice story. Maybe you don't necessarily feel great about playing it down the line, right? Like, you could say he could put two of these together in week three. You might not feel good about it, but this is part of continuously churning through and working the back end of your roster, exposing yourself to these shots. And then, listen, if he flounders, then you just cut him, right? That's part of it. We're going to have more opportunities to do that this week, I think. So Dak, I think, is back. So that's one we're not necessarily going to worry about. Zach Wilson, it's notable he didn't get placed on IR. So it's probably like a week 10 plus type deal. And for them, I'll say this, just from a decision-making lens, I think maybe not putting him on IR makes some sense too, because they want him to be able to practice. And if he's on IR, he can't practice, you know, in until he's designated to return and all that stuff. Like, they might want to slowly work him back in and do those sorts of things. They're on a developmental track with him. They don't really care about the 53rd roster spot because of a competitive imbalance, for example. So that's just one thought I had about why it might take him 3+ weeks, but at the same time, they might not. You know, they might not put him on IR and open up that roster spot, because it doesn't as much matter to them. Okay, so those are the couple there that are, I think, interesting. You got Trevor Siemian too. Jameis Winston, it looks like it's ACL, MCL, probably going to be out for the year, going on IR, probably going to need surgery. Should get an official update Monday or Tuesday, you know, after he gets an MRI and all that stuff. But looking for 10 months to a year type return. This might be another one where you ultimately get like a 1-year prove it deal for Jameis. And you're going to be at a spot in his career where it's going to be like prove it deal after prove it deal. It's a really interesting situation. We haven't had a quarterback like this in recent memory where they've had this type of situation. So, total bummer for Jameis. And again, I saw someone shared it in the Analytics of Dynasty group me chat that he, you know, was dancing basically after the game and on his crutches, like totally being reckless with his own body. You know, he's an entertaining guy. It's tough to see. So I'm really interested though in the fallout of this. I wonder if this makes them players for Deshaun Watson. I just don't know how they could possibly do that. But I will say this. The reason I don't know how they could possibly do that is because of the cap situation that they find themselves in. And any time the Saints have found themselves in a cap situation, they have been able to figure it out. So and just essentially print money. They are essentially able to print money at this point in terms of where they're at. So, listen, I mean, a huge win, and they make themselves absolutely relevant in the not that they weren't already, but in a different way than I think, than I think anyone expected. They find themselves in a really, getting a win over Tampa is in it's just a really remarkable performance given they're on their basically their third string quarterback essentially at this point. So I'll be really interested to see sort of what the follow on implications of this is. Again, I they are in a way where they have I just don't know how they can make a big addition at this point. Again, I could be wrong on this, but I would be fascinated if they could do it, because I think that would be like they could be a Super Bowl contender. But I mean, they have $250 million in cap allocations next year, and that is with 37 players signed, and that's way over the cap. So yeah, for what that's worth, it's really interesting there in terms of how that's all going to work out. All right. So I think the thing we're going to have to look at is Trevor Siemian comes in, plays, doesn't do half bad either. I mean, and that's like, we'll see here with him. I would think Taysom Hill gets a crack, but he's been on the concussion recovery track for about a month now. And that just gives me some pause. Again, I sort of go by the Dr. Gene, like you're either pushing basically like a week to 10 days, or you're looking kind of like a month or more. That it's kind of a bimodal distribution on your recovery time. So you typically see 1 or 2 weeks or 4 to 6 in sort of that range of games missed. Gives me some pause about getting him back. And again, is Trevor Siemian a guy that can play or sort of elevate them? I'm not sure, but like, they didn't really have Jameis doing that either. So I think it's really interesting. And again, what role do you want to have Taysom Hill in? I don't know that. I mean, they've sort of pumped their chests out that they want him to, that they think he can be a franchise quarterback. I don't know if I buy that, and I don't think many people have, but I think we're going to get an opportunity now to see what they truly think about him and sort of how that moves. Again, Siemian goes 16 for 29, a touchdown, 159 through the air. Like, he plays fine, but not – again, with this set of weapons, it's tough to have big numbers. You're going to get Michael Thomas back hopefully here in the next month or so. We'll see sort of how this unfolds. I'm really interested to watch the Taysom Hill angle of this. And if you're – I think if you have Jameis in a situation like safe leagues where you don't have an IR spot and it's like 28, man, I think you got to keep him because he could find himself back in a situation like this next year and kind of approve a deal. Like, fiscally, that might make a lot of sense for the Saints, for example. But – it's tough to see any sort of long-term multi-year deal in his immediate future. Besides that, so you're really looking for the Taysom Hill injury aspect of this. I think that's absolutely the thing that I'm most interested in before waivers go in, is if we get an update on that. And we might not, because you're probably not going to have practice for them before you do your waivers, which would be typically Wednesday, something like that. You're probably not going to get practice reports yet on Taysom Hill, but we're hoping to see him at least limited, something other than DNP to start this week. Another story to watch is Kyler Murray. This was a Thursday night game, left ankle injury. Dr. Gene has him week to week and doubtful for week 9. So that gives some concern there for me, looking in the longer term window here with Murray. Colt McCoy going to get another opportunity to potentially be a backup quarterback that comes in and starts some games, right? He's seen with the Giants, with Washington for a while as well. I think he had one other stop along the way too, but this is another opportunity with a pretty good offense that has some weapons here for him to, and he's proven that he's core competent, right? So I think he's an interesting one, again, as we sort of go along here when we're in our buys. Like, he could find himself in a scenario where it's viable, and it's viable for you to start him, and you can feel somewhat comfortable with his skill, with his skill set anyways, to not sink you in a given week. Again, as we look here, we're going into week 9. You get Detroit, Seattle on a bye, Tampa on a bye, Washington on a bye. So if this is a 1 week injury, I mean, you're really looking at, you probably don't have a situation where McCoy's going to be in your roster, would sort of be my thought. I mean, Goff's been on your fringe anyways. Seattle, you've been without Wilson, right? Maybe Brady, Heinicke, maybe. It's just not a week where it's going to set up like, hey, you're going to get 50% start rate out of Colt McCoy. In week 10, you got Bears, Cincy, the Giants, and Houston. Again, a not outside of like Burrow, and maybe you've been starting Daniel Jones, or I had a desperation Davis Mills game this week, but that was entirely buy related. You're really not going to get in again. Next time you're going to have multiple real quality starters, even high end ones, right? I guess you could say week 10, you've got Burrow and Fields and Jones, like, could be super flex starters for you, but you're not really going to get multiple big games with high end quarterbacks. I guess Stafford in week 11. Again, that's almost a full month of that injury at that point. So I just look at that and I say, okay, I think you're probably in a situation where you could take a spec shot on him, but you're probably not going to be throwing him in lineup. So again, then it becomes what's the purpose of adding him? So that's be the sort of thought process that I would have. And again, I'll do the waiver wire show, but that's just my initial inclination there. However, I will say this: if the ankle is for some reason worse than we expect, and it's a situation where they put him on IR, it would be week 9, week 10, week 11, and then it's a week 12 bye. He wouldn't be eligible to come back until week 13. So that would be a situation where you're getting Colt McCoy, in week 9 and then week 10 and week 11, and there's basically 10 byes. So almost a third of the byes in the NFL are in that time. Like, you could find yourself getting a spot start. So just sort of keep that in mind as well. Some other quick hitters on some things to watch for this week. Russell Wilson, he's on hopefully the mend of like a week 10 return, which would put him on the short side of that. On the short side of his recovery window, so be watching for that. And then that's really the other quarterback one of note at this particular time. Darnold banged up a little bit too. He's in the concussion protocol, so we'll have to watch for him in his return. PJ Walker could be a guy that you could potentially be on the lookout to start if you're in an absolutely destitute situation. But I think it's more of a, you're going to be taking a downtick against your DJ Moore, your Chuba Hubbard shares, for example. Again, that game would be against the Patriots. So at least Darnold wouldn't have to go back through that if he misses the game with the concussion. Again, other ones after that, you have Tyrod is a question mark coming back from the hamstring strain. But that's pretty much it in terms of quarterbacks. I say pretty much. It's like a quarter of the quarterbacks have some issue this week. So quite a bit of them. Barkley, we'll see. Week 9 availability maybe is probably doubtful. We're probably looking longer term. And it's pretty disappointing at this point that we're still out. I'm hoping that the swelling subsides and he's on his way back, but we'll see there. James Robinson left the week 8 matchup with a heel contusion is what they're calling it. So I'd be really interested to watch and see how his recovery can go. This might be something that, you know, if he can get relatively right, he could be able to play week 9, but those things can, you know, just, I was just looking at some Dr. Gene stuff. There's some worry there that can linger. So just be on alert there. Jamal Williams missed the game, and I was somewhat unexpectedly missed the game. So they coming up here on a bye. Okay, that's probably on the better side of where they want to be. Get him some rest and get him back healthy after the bye. Basically, the 2 weeks off. I'm not sure it's going to help them ultimately, but it's good that they're seeing they're taking care of their guys. Tevin Coleman missed with a hamstring strain. Again, I hope you had Ty Johnson. It's probably not going to be a situation where Michael Carter isn't going to play, so you have that sort of hang up there. But I thought the process was right, so it's optimistic. We're watching for the returns of Christian McCaffrey, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and David Montgomery. It's eligible to return after week 8, so we'll see here how that is. And it's basically pushing the early range of his return. It was more of like a 4 to 6, 4 to 8 week type window there for Montgomery. So we're at the beginning arc of that potential return. Chris Carson, his return is coming up in a couple of weeks. So we'll see if that cervical neck condition, is what they're calling it, what that ultimately allows him to play through, if at all. And there's been a couple of subscribers that have mentioned, like, that's going to be tough. So we'll see. I'd be really interested to see how this situation unfolds with him, because he's in a spot where, like, again, contract-wise, it doesn't feel super great in terms of insulation for him going forward. So hopeful that Chris Carson can get back on the field and be healthy. Davante Adams on COVID. We'll see where that goes. Looks like Alan Lazard on COVID for an unvaccinated contact. So hopefully both of them are eligible to come back in week 9. Nuke Hopkins with a hamstring strain. So we'll see there in terms of his return. Antonio Brown, I saw there was some news that this might be longer than expected with his. So be watching there and what happens with him. Again, holding him, stashing him, I think he can make a difference on the stretch. But you want to see him, you know, return after week 9 with the bye. Julio missed the game with a hamstring strain, just continuously ongoing sort of issues. Hoping for a week 9 return. A hip issue for Corey Davis, hoping for a week 9 return as well. Dr. Gene is questionable, so relatively optimistic about those guys. One guy he's not optimistic about, Kenny Galladay, dealing with a knee strain, doubtful for week 9. T.Y. Hilton left the game, by the way, with a head neck injury type deal. It almost looked like he hit his head on the ground, and then he kind of got up. It was weird. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but we're definitely watching his status. And again, he might be one that actually pops up on some waiver wires, so I'm interested in adding him just from a profile perspective. Coming back from IR, it also looks like there might be some time here for Michael Thomas and Gallup, and Will Fuller as well. This is probably a couple of weeks at least more return for both of those guys. So disappointing there, you know, and I have Calvin Ridley in a couple spots where, and I'll get to him in a second, where I was hoping that Fuller or Michael Thomas could sort of fill in, but it looks like I'm sort of stuck there. Calvin Ridley, I think I kind of need to see some costs and some prices. I will say this about Ridley. I think if he misses the rest of the season, what my thought with him would be is if he misses the rest of the season, how would you value him? And just assume that's going to happen. And so I think the easiest way to go about that is like you treat him. I think if he missed the rest of the season, I think he'd be somewhere in the teens in terms of value. And then I think you have to sort of say, okay, well, it's kind of like Miami's doing with the Deshaun Watson deal. Like, how do I make this in a way that if this goes horribly wrong, I'm not sunk, right? And so that is not giving away first in a deal like that, just because in case he walks away from the game, you're going to be holding the bag and giving up a top five pick at some point. Like, that's disaster. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to make a harpoon yourself. But, you know, if a second will get it done, if a couple of seconds will get it done, if a second plus some contending guys, if a couple contending guys, especially if you're not competing, right? Those are the types of moves that can really move your needle longer term. And that can take you from a fringe playoff team to an actual playoff team next year, right? That can add half a win to a win if that goes right. So that would sort of be that my aim with him. Again, if you want to, I think you got to make a dynasty trade. But again, I'm giving non-core assets for him. Again, so what I mean by that is non-core assets, like, think players outside the top 75, especially guys outside the top 75 who came from outside the top 75 that might be performing like sort of on a fringe basis of the top 75 guys right now, but came from way later on. Like, those are the types of profiles that you want to send for Ridley. Again, that might be easier said than done, and the opposing GM might be like, no, I'm just going to hold him. Right? I've sort of had that problem in some other spots, but it is worth asking on, because he's a player that can make a difference. So absolutely one that I'm interested in there. Gronk returned and basically was blanked, so we'll see there. It looks like an ACL for Robert Tonyan, so that's disappointing. Ebron missed week 8 with a hamstring strain. He's questionable to return in week 9. I wonder if he ends up on the trading block. I'd be interested in see that, because Freiermuth kind of coming out a little bit and Ebron's essentially doing nothing. It looks like positive news for George Kittle coming back for week 9, so that'll be really good to see as we head into the playoff stretch. Logan Thomas, it doesn't appear to be super close, so that, you know, might get some more spot starts here out of Ricky Seals-Jones ultimately. Your Thursday night game is the Jets at Indy. That line opened up at a -14.5, actually, for Indy, so more than 2 touchdowns. It's down to about 10.5, somewhere in that range. So, again, that's a decent size move, but still a huge favor for Indy at home. So that would sort of be my thought there. Again, you might try and get an edge when we get snap reactions, who the receiving running back is, for example, and that might be more interesting. And then again, you're playing some pass game guys. Keelan Cole's one that shows up a little bit on the red zone. Had a highlight opportunity. I think it ended up being called back. But we'll see there in terms of what their offense looks like. You had Corey Davis out, for example. I'd be really interested to see what this game looks like on a short week against Indy with Mike White at quarterback. It's going to be a really interesting game. I don't usually complain about games to watch. Right? We'd had no football without COVID, and a lot of sports without COVID. You know, when we were without a lot of sports when COVID was here, at least initially. And now I sort of look back and I'm like, man, I don't ever want to go back to that. So any game is interesting to me. This got immensely more interesting because I'm going to be able to see Mike White. So, by the way, Carson Wentz threw, I think, might have been the worst interception in the history of football. It was that bad, basically, at his goal line. Just so many ways to not throw the interception and just couldn't help himself. So I'm really interested to see what this game could be like. Again, I am not in my Survivor Eliminator suicide pool, but this would be one that I would absolutely avoid, even though it has bears all of the resemblings of a really good bet. Home, 2-score favorite against a non-division team. No thank you with the quarterback situation. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, lots of things to consider at quarterback. We don't have a ton of answers at this point, but I think that those are really the places you want to look at, and then we'll have all our shows here going forward. But those are the things that I'm really watching for week 9 and the build-up to week 9. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.